Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories making news across South Sudan this Wednesday, November 24th, 2021. 7 people are reported missing after an attack in Akobo County yesterday.
The situation is very bad. Yesterday, there was an incident that happened in Akobo, where Akobo is.
And Kajikaji County residents are complaining about an influx of hundreds of cattle into the area.
Yesterday, then I went even to see where these cattle are, and I found they are just have entered through Nyepo Payam, and they have done some destructions on the small farms.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Akobo County of Jonglei State say 7 people are missing after unidentified gunmen attacked the area yesterday. The Akobo County Commissioner says a total of 8 people were traveling from Akobo East to Akobo West when they were ambushed. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Akobo County Commissioner Gadwich Red Deng says the whereabouts of the 7 people who went missing last evening remains unknown, while one person who survived the attack with injuries returned to Akobo East.
The situation is very bad. Yesterday, there was an incident that happened in Akobo West and Akobo East. There was 8 passengers who were going to Akobo West. They were attacked on the road by Murile. That we have not yet confirmed all the details. So one person that can back to Akobo is that person wounded.
Commissioner Deng says armed young men and police are searching for the missing in a nearby forest and bushes. He says villagers suspect the attackers may have come from the Greater Pibor administrative area. Jai Adingora Alwal, the Minister for Information in the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, says he was not informed about the attack and cannot confirm nor deny the alleged assailants came from his area.
It is not yet verified. So what we need just to know is to see that this criminal activity is stopped. This is our objective. This is why we are also working for it in order to end these criminal activities, because otherwise we will just be keeping on losing innocent people while we are not benefiting from anything.
Locally, Amea, the chief administrator for the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, said armed young people were inside the area of Nanam about 2 weeks ago and he didn't know what they were doing there. Amea is calling on the national government to expedite the disarmament plan in Greater Jonglei so as to prevent armed civilians from harming each other. Alwal says a lack of communication networks and feeder roads to ease movement have posed challenges to Pibor authorities in curbing criminal activities among young people in remote areas.
We don't have network in the area of Lukwangole. We don't have network in the area of Nanam and Gumru. So that makes it easy for these people to stay there alone without the presence of the government. We don't have roads also to those locations whereby the government will just go there easily without problems on the way. So these challenges are actually the challenges that hinder most of our activities in the area.
In 2019, President Salva Kiir approved a plan to intensify joint police patrols along the borders of the Greater Pibor Administrative Area and Jonglei State to contain cattle raids and child abductions. Under the plan, a police force comprised of 2,500 young men and women from different ethnic communities would undergo thorough training and work to eradicate organized crime and maintain law and order between the Pibor area and neighboring Jonglei State. President Kiir instructed the National Police Service to make arrangements for the training and deployment of the new recruits in the border area of Gadiang, but the plan has yet to materialize. Alwal appealed to the office of the president to quickly form and deploy joint security forces along the border area. He responded in January by saying he will no longer intervene should communities in Jonglei engage in fighting. Attacks and counterattacks involving cattle raids and child abductions have continued among communities in the Greater Pibor Administrative Area and Jonglei State, despite several peace agreements reached between the communities. Last week, at least 7 people from the Greater Pibor Administrative Area who resided in Bor Town were killed by armed men in what appeared to be a revenge attack for the killing of 2 men from Bor County by men suspected of being from Pibor. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
Leaders in Kejukeji County of Central Equatoria State are expressing concern about an influx of pastoralists and hundreds of cattle into the area. The Bishop of Kejukeji Diocese of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan says the cattle are destroying people's crops. The Kejukeji County Commissioner says he will raise the matter with higher authorities in the government so that the issue can be settled amicably. David Monodanga files this story for VOA from Juba.
The Right Reverend Emmanuel Murie, Bishop of Kejukeji Diocese of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, says more pastoralists are moving with the cattle to Kejukeji and destroying crops in the process.
Yesterday, then I went even to see where these cattle are, and I found they are just have entered through Nyepo Payam, and they have done some destructions on the small farms. The returnees have tried their best to put some crops down in order to survive next year. Subsistence farmers who have tried their best, they are cut, their crops are destroyed, and I'm worried. And even when you see those farms, you don't know where, how this person will survive next year.
The bishop says the people of Kejukeji are living in fear because of the heavy guns the herders carry as they guard their cattle.
These people are roaming with guns, and they are scaring the community around here, because here we are not people who used to work with guns, because we see guns are for the army and to be used by the army when there are problems.
Kenye Erastos, the commissioner, says the problem of recurring influx of cattle herders and their cattle into Kejukeji is beyond his capability.
This issue is not actually a local issue that can be handled only by the commissioner. This is the issue that, as you have been knowing very clearly, that is a country-wide issue that even the external president issuing degree, governor also did the same, and then I also did the same. So the pasty step which was we did, we managed to drive the 3/4 of the cattle back.
In 2017, President Salva Kiir ordered pastoralists to return to their home regions to reduce the risk of conflicts with farmers. Commissioner Erastos says he realizes the pastoralists never left the region and stayed in the jungles of Central Equatoria and are now coming back in even larger numbers. He says he will raise the matter with higher authorities in government so that the flow of cattle herders into part of Central Equatoria can be settled amicably.
I realize these guys went to the bushes and in the mountainous areas. And right now they are actually the ones flooding out also and moving towards the farming lands. It is very true that they are actually flooding seriously. And this is why I'm struggling here at least to join hands, and then we make sure the order is actually implemented.
Abraham Makur, the Secretary General of the Cattle Herders Association, says the cattle herders are returning to the Kejukeji area because of a conflict between the Mundari, another community of pastoralists, and the communities of Rajaf and Juba counties. He also says those who had gone to Kaya to graze along the Kaya River are returning to Kejukeji to access greener pastures and water for their animals.
At this moment, in the area of Kaya, there's only water along Kaya, but in the bush there's no water at the moment. And if the cattle have returned back, we were not actually informed. So, but it means this community, you know, the cattle herders and the Kuku community, so need engagement for that. The cattle has no water, no grass, so people are supposed to actually immediate and engage so that to allow these people and to tell them where to go.
Makur says the only support from government was to discuss with the two communities the importance of living together. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
The Anglican Church in South Sudan is calling on regional leaders to intervene to ensure partners in South Sudan's transitional government implement security arrangements set in the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement. Justin Badi Arama, the Archbishop and Primate of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, says reluctance to implement the security arrangements is causing suffering for many civilians. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Archbishop Justin Badi Arama says church leaders at a recent synod focused their discussions on the implementation of the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement and in particular the security arrangements of the deal.
The church is worried because the church is close to the people on the ground. As long as there is a slow implementation, the civil population continues to suffer. Because those in the cantonment, they go to the civilians, they beg for food, they grab, and all those. And secondly, as civilians, we are the parents, the fathers, the mothers, and we want to see our children at least having what they committed themselves for, instead of just remaining there in the cantonment or training centers suffering.
The Episcopal Church of South Sudan called for fully implementing the security arrangements at the synod in Juba. The meeting is the General Assembly of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan held every 5 years. At least 300 senior leaders of the church and some senior government officials attended. Badi told the South Sudan in Focus on Tuesday that the parties have made progress, particularly in implementing Chapter 1 of the peace agreement, which is the formation of the unity government. But he says the ineffective implementation of Chapter 2 of the deal, the security arrangements, poses a threat to peace and stability in the country. Badi says the church has noted with concern the delay in graduating and deploying the unified forces who are in training camps. He says the church also fears that the longer the forces stay in the training camps without graduation and deployment, the higher the chances that they will desert and this will undermine the efforts to restore peace and stability.
Keeping them there for long actually is a threat to the civil population, because as they come out, they may beg for food, or they may forcefully take it, or they may be involved in other crimes. So that's why we are saying, let the government speed up and complete this remaining part, so that there is a total peace and stability to all communities over the country.
Badi says regional and international partners to the peace deal, such as the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, and the Troika countries, need to do more to ensure that the security arrangements are implemented.
We are appealing to the guarantors and friends of South Sudan to please help the government to complete this effort in order for the civil population to have peace.
Under the timeline for the implementation of the security arrangements, the parties should have by now graduated the forces, unified and deployed them to new assignments. But that has yet to happen. The SPLM in opposition, one of the parties to the deal, recently accused its partner, the in-government party, led by President Salva Kiir, of delaying the implementation by saying there is no money to do it. The in-government party has repeatedly said it wants the security arrangements implemented. Badi says the synod also noted the issue of movement of cattle across some parts of the country, which could become another source of conflict. He says the government has yet to address that concern. Badi says the church has called on the government to take action and address the influx of cattle into farming areas.
The government should help. All cattle should go to where they have been staying. Though there are challenges of flooding and other challenges, but not to open ways for more problems, we are saying the government should at least help or bring laws that cattle are taken to their places of origin. The more we keep them there, the more we open ways for conflict, for hatred, and for more challenges.
In 2017, President Salva Kiir had issued a presidential order directing pastoralists who had migrated to farming areas to return to their places of origin, but no progress has been made in implementing that order. Conflicts often arise when cattle herds intrude on farmland. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, a U.S. official says efforts to mediate peace in Ethiopia are being jeopardized by recent developments. Find out more on that story after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you correct friends and loved ones?
I tell them the truth, because when I hide it, sometimes I have to tell them again and explain, which is not so fun. Yeah, it's easier for everyone.
You tell him what you have done is wrong. Next time, don't do like this, according to what he has done.
The first step I do actually is that I talk to the person. I sit back a little bit to be able to ascertain if it really went down with the person. To give the person a breathing space, just to ponder about whatever I said. And in the course of time, to allow process to have its way.
When they go wrong, I call them aside and talk to them. I tell them their behavior is very bad, so they need to stay away from it. And some of them get angry, but I don't care.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. U.S. Special Envoy for the Horn of Africa, Jeffrey Feldman, says the goal of the United States is to support diplomacy as the only way to address the underlying causes of the conflict in Ethiopia. However, speaking Tuesday at a news conference in Washington, Feldman said the fragile progress made so far was in danger of being outpaced by alarming developments on the ground in Ethiopia.
There is some nascent progress in trying to get the parties to move from a military confrontation to a negotiating process. But what concerns us is that this fragile progress risks being outpaced by the alarming developments on the ground that threaten Ethiopia's overall stability and unity. But I want to be clear, the basis for talks to lead to de-escalation and a negotiated ceasefire exists. Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy told me again on Sunday that his top priority is to get the Tigrayan Defense Forces and the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front, you know, the TDF and the TPLF, out of the lands that they have occupied in the states of Amhara and Afar and get them back into Tigray. We share that objective. The TDF and TPLF leaders that we have engaged tell us that their top priority is to break the de facto humanitarian siege that the government of Ethiopia has imposed on Tigray since July. We share that objective as well. And the two sides have given the same message to a number of other diplomats and leaders, including former Nigerian President Obasanjo, who, as you all know, serves as the African Union's High Representative for the Horn of Africa. The basic point is that these two objectives are not mutually exclusive. With political will, one can achieve both. Unfortunately, each side's trying to achieve its goal by military force. And each side seems to believe that it's on the cusp of winning. After more than a year of fighting and hundreds of thousands of casualties and people displaced by fighting, it should be clear that there is no military solution. The government must remove the shackles that are hindering humanitarian relief and stop offensive military actions, and the TDF must halt its advance on Addis. All those in need, regardless of ethnicity or geography, should have immediate access to life-saving humanitarian assistance, and we call for an immediate end to human rights abuses and violations. Our goal is to support diplomacy as the first, as the last, and as the only approach to address the underlying causes of this conflict. We are not taking sides here. Rumors that we are supporting one side are simply false. We have no intention of any engagement except diplomatic engagement on behalf of international efforts to promote a political process. Ethiopia's neighbors, the African Union, the United Nations, and the international community all agree. There is no time to waste in pivoting to diplomacy.
Feldman also told Ethiopian Americans that they have an important responsibility to create a conducive atmosphere for de-escalation.
For decades, Ethiopian Americans have been instrumental in advocating for reforms that would ensure that all Ethiopians live in dignity with their basic human rights and freedoms respected. Now is the time for Ethiopian Americans to play a similar leadership role in advocating for an end to incitement and fanning the flames of war. Continued war risks unraveling Africa's second most populous country, the home of the African Union, and the traditional linchpin of security and stability in the strategic Horn of Africa Red Sea area. We're putting our diplomatic tools behind the collective efforts to promote de-escalation and negotiated ceasefire. It is time for the Ethiopians to pursue their objectives, not on the battlefield, but at the negotiating table.
Economists say China's model of investment in Africa is gaining public support despite the debt burden it imposes on many countries. According to economic experts and the locals, the United States' multi-billion dollar investments in Africa are less visible and make less of an impact on people's daily lives. Victoria Amunga reports from Nairobi.
Catherine Kiura's electronic business is one of thousands in Kenya that distributes products both from China and Western countries. Kiura says her Chinese products are moving the fastest.
There's first quality, second quality to fifth quality. So it depends with what the customer is asking for. Because we will sell something that a customer wants. If it's a bulb for 30 shillings, I have. If it's a bulb for 50 shillings, I have.
Electronics is a target area of investment by Chinese companies in Africa. Locals say such investments are impacting their daily lives directly. Joseph Kamau is a resident in Nairobi. He says a lot of products we see in the shops are from China. Government projects we hear also are being run by Chinese. So even though America is investing, we haven't seen them on the ground. He says we hear that America has done this and that, but we haven't seen them at the grassroots. Economists like Wahoro Ndoho say the model of investment by foreign countries is key in the competition for influence across Africa.
China has followed its money in. Whenever it's invested, unlike other lenders, it's actually followed its projects with the engineers, sometimes even to an extreme of having their own workers. But then resulted in is you've had a very visible impact.
During his three-nation tour of Africa last week, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said his country is investing in the continent without imposing unsustainable levels of debt. Wahoro told VOA that distinction is an important one.
If you look in the overall picture of the debt stock, and by this I mean other types of debt beyond commercial, because China has been mainly commercial debt. The West is still ahead in terms of actual dollars on the ground, and also because if you include the Bretton Woods institutions, the World Bank and the IMF, then the totality of that bilateral and multilateral institutions, you could see the West is still, this is still the West's space.
In a bid to strengthen relations with Africa, the White House has announced it will host an African Leaders Summit in 2022. Victoria Amunga for VOA News, Nairobi.
This holiday season promises to be an extraordinary one. Experts say supply chain issues, the pandemic, inflation, and online sales will impact holiday shopping. Maxim Moskalkov has the story.
In 2021, just like the previous year, the majority of holiday season shopping will likely be done online, say experts. The ease of online shopping is one pandemic lesson. According to research by Adobe Digital Insights, sales during the 2021 holiday season could top $207 billion in the US alone. But that doesn't mean things are back to normal, according to Vivek Pandya from Adobe Digital Insights.
But because of the pandemic and because of these global supply chain issues, we're seeing prices kind of come into the season about 3% higher than what we've seen in the past. And then those actual discounts are becoming weaker. So as a result of the demand surges and more limited availability, the prices start to move up across these goods online.
And supply chain issues are prompting businesses to start cutting prices early and not waiting to start the Christmas in a mad rush on the day after Thanksgiving called Black Friday.
retailers don't necessarily want there to be a mad rush of orders placed right before, the Christmas holiday, for example, because they might not be able to fulfill those kinds of orders. So it's in their best interest to kind of shift demand earlier.
Isaac says due to supply chain problems, stores are more focused on having the most popular items in stock rather than a variety of options for consumers. Consumer psychologist Dana Hoffman says holiday shoppers may be disappointed.
I think many people in the United States anyway have this attitude that, it's kind of normal. We're back to normal. And they're going to expect that kind of normalcy maybe when they go online. I think retailers need to get ready for the onslaught of returns. So maybe more than any other time, I think there's that frustration is going to turn into a lot of disappointment.
Online shopping has also changed the concept of holiday shopping on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
In the past, it was Cyber Monday, right? Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Now it's this holiday shopping. It's like Cyber November. It's Black November. There's a lack of CDL, commercial driving licensed individuals. So there's a definite labor shortage of those individuals. There's a massive labor shortage of retailers.
Experts advise consumers to be less picky choosing gifts this year and always have a plan B if something doesn't quite go according to plan. Maxim Moskalko for VOA News, Washington.
That's all we have for you this Wednesday. I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your vehicles, homes, and on your phones. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect yourself and others from coronavirus. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for COVID-19. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Najua kelele za chura zimnyimi tembo kunywa maji. Najua la kuku halimpati wewe utalijua jiji wewe. Sikujua kama rafiki yangu huyu ni bonge la nyoka. Tena niti anayejifanya yeye mwanafundo. Tena anang'ata na kupuliza vuu kama panya kukua. Ananifuata urafiki huu ni urafiki gani bona ni wa utata lakini yona mimi nanifuata likiwa pembeni la paka.